9th January 1992 We will continue our Dhamma talk explaining the 7 benefits of mindfulness and meditation. Yesterday we explained the first benefit, the purification of a being, which is one of the benefits of the sevens. Explaining this purification of beings, I explain you three types of purification or removal, Pahana and Pali. Three types of purification, I think you remember. What are they? Partial purification, temporary purification, and total purification. As to total purification, I told you mental defilement can be totally purified by means of path knowledge or the four stages of enlightenment. Magga, the four stages of magga. Magga is a path. That path is a knowledge, so it's a translated to Magganyana, path knowledge. So I would like to continue to explain to these four stages of enlightenment very briefly before I deal with it. I want to correct a term I explained to you when I dealt with the five similes for five aggregates. The day, the simile of an aggregate of a physical phenomena. What is it, the simile? Sponge. Yes. It's not sponge. Better to have a foam. 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 You follow? Foam. Because in the foam, you cannot find any core, any substance to use for you. On that day, I thought about the word, the sponge. But I couldn't find this foam. It has been lost. So, in this morning, Upanya told me he remembered that once that I explained these five similes, the word foam. Yes. The problem is language. In Burmese, sponge is called yi miao, and also foam is also called yi miao. One word for two things. So I remembered only sponge, not foam. So, the simile of the aggregates of a physical process is what? Form. Then, I think you remember, what is the simile of feeling or sensation? Vedanakana? Bubble. Yes. bhagal. In the Pali text, the Buddha said, Vedana bubulupama. Bubulupama. Bubula upama. Upama is a similar or like. Bubula is a bubble. Very near. Bubula is a bubble. Vedana is a feeling. The feeling is like a bubble. Bubula. The same, and there's the same family. The two words. Yes. What is the simile of perception? Mirage. And what is the simile of mental formations? Banana fruit or banana trunk? Trunk. You can't you use it, the fruit? No. Why? Yes. Then what is the simile of the consciousness, aggregate of consciousness? Kanjur, yes. You remember. Very good. Then I'll continue to explain the four stages of enlightenment. The first stage of the enlightenment uproots some of our mental defilements concerned so the first stage of enlightenment is called Sotapatti Magajñāna. Yesterday I told you the translation of Sotapatti Magga, stream enterer. What do you mean by the stream? Just a stream, not tantara. What do you mean by stream? Noble Eightfold Path. Because Sotapanna, the first noble person, begins to enter the current or the stream of a Noble Eightfold Path. But as you know, as soon as he has entered that path, he realizes Nibbana, the cessation of suffering. In the same way, in the other stage of enlightened stages of enlightenment too, as soon as the noble person has attained the second part, he realizes the cessation of suffering, Nibbana. The same with the third and the fourth stage of enlightenment. Yes, the first stage of enlightenment, Sotapatti Magajñāna, or path knowledge, destroys the two kinds of mental defilements, Sakkaya Deity and Vicikicca in Pali. Sakkaya Deity, you know, was there. The false view of a personality, individuality, self or soul. That view, false view, has been destroyed, is destroyed by the first stage of enlightenment. Because before you have attained this noble path, you have to go through the 13 stages of insight knowledge through your personal experience. During the course of your meditation, meditative practice, you have to go through these 13 stages, realizing impermanent suffering and personal nature of a mental and physical phenomena. All the goals of this meditative practice. Only after that you have attained or you begin to enter the stage of a noble ones. The state of a noble ones. That means path knowledge. Sudapati magga jnana. So even while you are practicing this vipassana meditation and going through all these 13 stages, you have thoroughly realized that these three characteristics of existence, what are they? Impermanence, suffering, and personal nature. Then, say, when you see, when you are mindful of the pain on the back, on the thigh, noting pain, your concentration already good, deep. So the noting mind penetrates into the center of the pain. It doesn't go out very often, but sometimes it tends to think about the pain. But when you put enough effort, more effort in the noting, it doesn't think, and then it penetrates into the center of the pain. Then you realize that this is the pain, unpleasant physical sensation. Then you know, because there's a pain, then the mind that notes the pain arises. There's a dual process of noting mind and painful sensation or unpleasant feeling process. When you are realizing the pain in that way, you do not find it in your body or on your thigh or in your back. You do not find it. Where do you find it? In the sky or in the ground? Huh? Where do you find it? You find it separate from your body. Sometimes you lost the sense of your body. What you are realizing at this moment, at that moment, is just pain and the mind that knows it. Then, in that case, do you only find the pain with yourself? Yeah? No. Did you take the pain to be a person, a being, an I? Actually, you do not feel painful at that moment. You are just realizing the process of unpleasant physical sensation, the pain, and the mind that notes it, that's all. So, even in this stage of insight knowledge, and the course of vipassana meditation, you can destroy the false idea of a person, a being, and I know, a you. Partially. Then, would you have this idea of a person, a being, when you have been enlightened? No. That's the first stage of enlightenment destroys the false idea of personality, individuality, self or soul. You follow? So, Sakkaya Deity, it's called Sakkaya Deity. This is a false view of a personality. It's called Sakkaya Deity. In Pali, it has been destroyed by the insight knowledge. By the enlightenment, the first stage of enlightenment. But when the pain still exists, then you continue to penetrate it, to observe it. Then you find inside the pain some pulse or some tingling sensation. Sometimes a waves of a heat, sometimes a waves of a cold. Eventually, the pain becomes disintegrated gradually. You found that. Then, did you hold that the pain is permanent? No. What you know is the pain is impermanent. It's a subject to arising and passing away. Then you come to realize the impermanency of a painful sensation or the unpleasant physical process, unpleasant sensation of a physical process. Anicca. Then when you see the pain as unbearable or the unpleasant physical sensation, do you regard it as a happiness? No. Sukha. Eh? You do not regard it as a sukha. Yeah? What do you regard it? Dukkha, suffering, a lot of suffering. I'm afraid of it, so I don't want to sit. I want to walk and walk. Eh? So then there you find suffering, dukkha, of vedanekhanda, feeling, sensation of a physical process. And again, but this dukkha is not very deep dukkha. This realization of this kind of a dukkha is not very deep. Because say, if an insect bites you, do you have a dukkha or sukha? Dukkha. They're not very deep. Yes. I have already told you one of the dukkhas. Sankhara dukkha. Have you heard of? No, not yet. Yes, I told you the dukkha means the mental state, the mental state which is being constantly oppressed by constant arising and passing away of a mental and physical phenomena. Have you heard of it? Repeatedly, I explain you. Yes. That dukkha is the essential to be realized, indispensable to be realized. When you see constant arising and passing away of a mental and physical phenomena, you begin to feel this phenomena is ever oppressed by the rising, constant rising and passing away. That is dukkha, sankhara dukkha. Yes, when you continue to observe the painful sensation and penetrate into the pain, when you come to realize one waves of a pain rising and then passing away, dispersed and dissipated. Then another wave comes up and disappears. Then another wave of pain comes up, disappears. Sometimes some of you describe it as layers and layers of painful sensation. You have experienced them. Then, if you feel layers and layers of painful sensation, the appearing and disappearance, it means impermanence and suffering. Dukkha, anicca and dukkha. Then, you do not take it to be a person, a being, a self or a soul, because it's ever-changing and subject to about rising and passing away. You know that. Though it's neither a person nor a being, neither a soul or no self, nor a self. Anatta. Then you come to realize anicca, dukkha, anatta. Then, even while you are realizing mental and physical process and their true nature, in the course of vipassana meditation, you can destroy this false idea of a person, a being, and I know as you. Then, when you have attained the first path, the noble path, the first stage of enlightenment, you don't have any idea of a person or being. So, this false view of a personality, individuality, has been destroyed by the first stage of enlightenment. Then here, why can you destroy, can you uproot this defilement, false view of a personality, individuality? This is a question. You can answer this question very easily. Why can this noble one destroy this false view of a personality, individuality, Sakkaya deity? By seeing impermanent suffering and impersonal nature of bodily and mental phenomena. Then, why do you see in that way? Yes, why do you see this mental and physical phenomena, just ever-changing phenomena or impermanence, suffering in impersonal nature? The characteristic of our existence. Yes, why do you realize that this is a characteristic of existence and it's the true nature? Yes, why do you realize this arising and passing away of a mental and physical phenomenon? The mind is purified because the concentration is very deep. Then why was is this mind purified? Yes, because of mindfulness and meditation. Then, why does this mind for the meditation can purify this mind? Why can mindfulness purify this this mind? Because this is the correct technique of mind meditation. Is the correct technique of meditation. where can you find this technique? Where can you find this technique? Inside you.
In Burma.
Yes. Yes. Because Burmese Mahathera, Burmese Mahathera revived it. So, yes, you can find this way of purifying mind and the discourse of Mahasadipatthana Sutra. Is it right? Or in the teaching of the Buddha. Then, this noble way of purifying mind and destroying defilement can be found in the teaching of the Buddha. Then, is this way correct? It's the right path or wrong path? Right path. Why? It can enable a meditator to attain the noble path. Path knowledge, the first stage of enlightenment. Destroy the kilesas, the defilement. Then, do you believe in the teaching of the Buddha? You do? Yes? Then, do you believe in the Buddha? If you believe in his teaching, you must believe in him. Then if you believe in his disciple who has attained this path knowledge, trot walking on his path. Yes, those disciples are called Sangha. Then you have no doubt about the teaching, the Buddha and his disciple. Have you got the doubt? That doubt has been destroyed by the insight, the first stage of insight knowledge. It's called vichikicca, one of the mental defilements. This vichikicca, skeptical doubt, is destroyed by the insight, the first stage of enlightenment, path knowledge. That's I want to explain to you the cause and effect of this purification and this destruction of this vichikicca, skeptical doubt. That's why I ask you many questions. By questions, you have been answered. Then, the two types of mental defilement. The first one is a Sakaya deity. The false idea of a personality, individuality. And the second one is a skeptical doubt about the triple gems is destroyed by the insight, the first stage of enlightenment, path knowledge. Is it right? Yes. Then, if you believe in the triple gems, especially in the teaching of the Buddha, and also if you reflect your own experience while you are meditating, then you have, did you have the false idea of a person, a being? No. But while you are not reflecting or recollecting your personal experience and meditation, you may have some vague idea of I or you as a conventional term. If you reflect your experience of, say, the pain that now I explain to you, you don't have the idea of a person or being. Then if you do not have a person, no, mental defilement arises depending on the idea of a I or you, a person, a being. So when you have, this is a I, that I have a great desire to be a prime minister, that I have a desire to be rich, a millionaire or billionaire, that I have a desire to be a handsome man, a pretty girl. That desire arises depending on the idea of a person, a being. So when you have no idea of a person, a being, and see just the nature, the body-mind process as just a natural process of a mentality and physicality which are arising in passing away, do you have any defilement? No, at that moment. But when you are not reflecting or recollecting your experience while you are practicing Vipassana meditation, you may have some big idea of I or you, a person or being, as conventional terms. Conventional terms. That conventional terms or names. The names are necessary to know the object and to communicate with each other. Is it necessary? Yes. So the name is not reality, it's a concept. Concept. So we have to name, this is our Buddha. The Buddha refers to one who has been enlightened about 2,578 years ago. So to tell about him, we have named him as a Buddha. That's the name. And if the name Buddha is a reality or concept. Concept. If it's a reality, any of absolute reality, then except the cessation of a suffering, Nibbana, all absolute reality are subject to change, arising and passing away. According to Buddhist philosophy, we classified absolute reality or ultimate reality, paramattha, into four. The first one is physical phenomena, material phenomena, materiality. The second is a consciousness, a pure consciousness, without any mental concomitant or mental associate. The third one is cetasika, we call it. It is a mental concomitant. The mental state that arises together with the consciousness is called a mental concomitant. Lobha, greedy, greed is a mental concomitant. When the consciousness recognizes the desirable object, then the one of the mental state will judge it's a desirable. Then you feel it's a good. When you feel it's a good, then you desire it. Then desire arises. Then greed arises. So these mental concomitants arising together with the consciousness, so they are called mental concomitants. Sometimes I use mental associates. They are that group. Altogether, 52 in number. Cetasika is a mental concomitant. 52 in number. Then, the fourth one is Nibbana, the cessation of suffering. how many we classified? Four of absolute reality, ultimate reality. What are they? The first one, matter. The second, consciousness. The third, mental concomitants. The fourth, Nibbana. Of these four kinds of absolute reality, paramatthas, except Nibbana, the other three are subject to impermanence. You understand? The other three are subject to impermanence. Metta, material process, consciousness, and mental concomitants, all these are subject to impermanence. They are ever changing. Why they are impermanent? Why are they impermanent? Because they arise and passes away. Then why do they arise and pass away? And the nature. Yes, the law of nature. Yes. Because there is causes to give them rise to. Causes. Because they are conditioned, they arise. Then, if they arise, they should last forever. Do they last forever? No. Why? They exist for a moment. Why they cannot last forever? It's very easy. You overlook one point. Yes. Because they arise, so they pass away. Is right? Yes. Because they arise, they pass away. Unless they arise, they won't pass away. If you are not born, you won't die. Because you are born, you will die. So everything which arises must pass away. Then this is the nature of paramattha, absolute reality. So except the cessation of suffering, nibbana, every paramattha or absolute reality arises and passes away, are subject to impermanence. Then we should consider the names. Does the name arise? Say the word, the name Buddha. The name Buddha, does the name Buddha arise? When does arise it? You see, in the world, according to tradition, there's no world where no Buddhas. There's no Buddhas. So, in the universe, in any universe, you have Buddhas, they said. Then, if the name is an absolute reality, suppose it arises, then does it pass away? Now the Buddha has passed away 2,558 years ago. The Buddha passed away. His mental and physical process also has disappeared. It ceases to exist. Does the name Buddha pass away? Does the name Buddha pass away? If it is pass away, you don't say Buddha now. Now you say Buddha. So does it pass away? No. It doesn't pass away. Even though the Buddha passes away, then the name Buddha doesn't pass away. Then it's the absolute reality or concept. Concept. As long as you conceived the name Buddha, it exists. If you have died, you don't have Buddha in your mind. Yeah. As long as you are alive, in your mind there is a Buddha, the name Buddha. Why? Because the mind creates the name Buddha. So you have it. So it's a concept, conceived. That's the difference between the concept and absolute reality. Absolute reality arises and passes away. The concept never passes away, never disappears. Then I'll go to the second stage of enlightenment. The second stage of enlightenment is called Sakadagami Magga. Yesterday I have told you the literary meaning of this one. Once returner. forgot. When you have no idea of a person, a being, when you reflect your good experience and your meditation, then you don't have defilements which is destroyed by the first stage of enlightenment. So, even though you have the vague idea of a person or being, because you haven't recollected your experience, then you don't have any mental defilement strongly. No strong mental defilement at all. Maybe that stage of enlightenment doesn't destroy the anger, aversion, or sense desire or sensual desire. You may have it, but it's not very strong. See, the first stage of enlightenment doesn't destroy the desire or lova, greed. So you have a lova, greed, even though you have attained the first stage. But that lova, greed is not so strong. Say you have a desire, this desire also not so strong. Say, you have a desire to take something which is desirable, which is also another person's property. Then would you steal it? Would you take it and force? No, because your desire is not so strong that you can steal it. Not so strong you can kill the owner. Yes. And your desire is too so very strong. You can kill the owner and take the property. Huh? So, because you have attained the first stage of enlightenment, even though you have this desire, desires are not strong, not so strong that you can kill the owner and you can take it forcibly, in force. Then, because of your weak defilement, your subtle defilement, you abstain from taking what is not given. You abstain from killing. You abstain from illegal sexual contact. You abstain from telling lies. You abstain from using any kind of intoxicant. It's very, very, very much important for Westerner to attain at least the first stage of enlightenment so that they can abstain from intoxicants. So try to avoid it. their reason is cold, very cold. Huh? The reason. Yes. When you are able to abstain, the France, bad deeds, bad speech, bad deeds such as killing, stealing, bad speeches such as telling lies, backbiting, slandering, and so on, then you won't have the very bad effect, result of your karma. Because your karma is not so evil, not so gross. So, the text said, when you have attained the first stage of enlightenment, you won't be reborn in the lower worlds of woeful states, such as apaya, you know, hell. You won't be reborn in the animal world. You won't be reborn in hell. You won't be reborn in hungry ghosts. Do you know hungry ghost? We call it a peta in Pali, peta, hungry ghost. It means that after you have attained the first stage of enlightenment, you won't be reborn in the lower worlds of woeful states. Because you do not, you abstain from all the evil deeds, speeches such as killing and stealing, telling lies and so on. Then, when you have attained the second stage of enlightenment, the second stage of enlightenment destroys the coarse quality of sensual desire and anger, hatred, aversion. The coarse quality of sensual desire and anger, hatred, aversion, ill will. Then if the coarse qualities of anger, aversion has been destroyed, there it cannot destroy the tender or subtle qualities of sensual desire and anger. It's left untouched by the second stage of enlightenment. Then your desire or greed becomes weaker and weaker, subtle and more and more subtle. In the same way that anger also becomes weaker and weaker. Because you are not able to destroy the anger totally, you have sometimes anger arising when they, you are insulted by someone, or when you think about undesirable thing, you may have the anger arising, but it's very subtle. Even though you may not know it as an anger, because the thought, the second stage of enlightenment has been destroyed, the coarse qualities of sensual desire and anger. That's a Sakadagami Mega. Then another one. Anagami Mega. I've told you the translation. Non-returner. The third stage of enlightenment. It destroys all of sensual desire and all of anger, hatred, aversion, ill will. The third stage of enlightenment destroys all of sensual desire, all of anger, without exception, completely destroyed. He is called Anagami, the third noble one. Sotapatti is the first noble one. Sakadagami is the second noble one. The Anagami is the third noble one. He has no sensual desire at all. He doesn't love good food. He doesn't love good sight. He doesn't love a good fortune. He is never angry, even though he is insulted by anyone. He hasn't anger at all. Then his mind becomes calm, serene and quiet. In the time of the Buddha, one of a millionaire, not millionaire, billionaire, named Visakha, together with the king Bhimisara, went to Veluna Monastery where the Buddha was residing at the time. And to listen to the discourse given by the Buddha. When the Buddha when the Buddha teaches about the Four Noble Truths, and the first truth, so the fourth truth, Maggasajja, the Buddha explained it very elucidated. Then, when the Buddha explained this Maggasajja, he has to explain the way leading to the cessation of suffering. That's a double eightfold path. Because in the Maggasajja, there's a mindfulness. Then he has to teach, describe how to be mindful of bodily and mental phenomena and how to realize it, how to attain Magga and fly and so on. So that billionaire, he's a young man. He was a young man, maybe about 25 and 30 years old, that's all. Young man. He was married. He has a very beautiful wife. Then, while listening to the discourse, he was mindful of whatever arises in his body and mind, and also the feeling about the Dharma, and also hearing the Dharma and so on. Whenever the discourse was about to finish, he has attained three stages of enlightenment. Three stages of enlightenment. Then, until the third stage, What kind of a defilement the third stage has destroyed? All of our sensual desire and all of our anger. Then, did the Milayana have a sensual desire? No. Even he hasn't answered sensual desire, he has no the other desire too. That's a very coarse desire. It means he loves nothing. He loves no property, he loves no living being, he loves non-living thing, no living things. He loves no non-living things. Then he hasn't any anger rise. That he went home back at the gate of the house. His wife, as usual, came to him and greeted him and hold his arm. Then Milayana very gently pushed it off. Then again, the young wife holds his arm. Then again, Milayana, then very tenderly pushed it out. The wife was very much surprised at the manner this man did. But she didn't ask any question. She looked at the face of Milayana. The face is very shy, very gracious, calm and tranquil. Then she judged nothing was wrong. There must be some reason. She is very wise. She didn't ask any question. Then Gadudu inside the house. He prepared food for him. He didn't take the food because when he has attained the third stage of enlightenment, he has no sensual desire, so he has no desire for food. Though he didn't take any substantial food after midday, so he didn't take the food. Then the wife get puzzled. The time's up. We'll continue tomorrow. So may all of you be able to attain the third stage of enlightenment, at least in this retreat. Achieve the cessation of suffering.